This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. You're listening to Roseanne, and I have with me in the studio today Karen Stockman, who also works for Community Waikato. Welcome, Karen.
Oh, kia ora, Roseanne. Thank you for inviting me.
That's great. Good to have you along. We thought today's session we'd actually just talk a little bit about Community Waikato and the work that we do out there in the community. For some of our listeners, they might not know exactly what we do. We quite often bring in guest speakers to talk about the mahi that they're doing out there in the region. So this time we thought we'd actually have a little chat and conversation around what it is that we actually do ourselves. So, Karen, what do you reckon?
Yeah, sounds good to me. It's always good to recognise and celebrate the work that you do, I think, Roseanne.
It is indeed. So obviously, a lot of the work we do is around helping organisations to build their capability and to build their capacity so that they then in turn have the time and the energies to actually go out there and help their members of their community or members, whoever it might be. So what's some of the key things that we're up to at the moment?
So, gosh, as always, we're doing lots of one-to-one advisory work with groups, but I think probably for the purposes of today, it would be good to talk about a couple of the programs that we've been running. So where do you want to start?
Wow. What about we had the recent community house managers, hui?
Yes, we did.
We did, didn't we? Where we invited all of the community house managers from across the Waikato, greater Waikato region,
yep,
which includes all up the way around the Thames Coromandel area as well, to come in for a sort of a good opportunity to network amongst each other,
yep,
share best practice, and have a couple of guest speakers come in and run a couple of sessions for them as well. So always having that learning and development opportunity there.
That's right. And we've been hosting, I guess, you would say, community houses, managers, networks for quite a few years now. And that's something that Holly often takes a lead on. And this one recently, we saw a really good turnout, actually. We probably had, I don't know if you can recall specifically, but I think we would have had at least 15 people there, if not more, maybe 16 people there, which is a really good turnout for our sector. And it's the first face-to-face gathering we've had for a wee while. So we've had a few online gatherings, but I think people were motivated to come along because it was a chance to be in the same room. And of course, people were curious about our new building.
Yes, and for some of our listeners, they may not have known yet that it's just over a month ago, wasn't it? We moved from one end of Victoria Street in Hamilton to the other end.
Yes.
So now between 931 and 935 Victoria Street. We have a lovely building, very spacious building that we're now in.
It is a very spacious building, and it's a great building with a wonderful training space or a professional development workshoppy type space. And so we did host these people there. And as you said, it is a really good chance to connect and to talk about what's on top and to bring questions or challenges or issues that individual leaders might be experiencing that they want to share with other people. So a big part of what we did on that day was that opportunity to connect in and share what's on top and what's happening in their communities. But we had two separate sessions. The first one we focused on dealing with or engaging in difficult situations, de-escalating difficult situations. So that was a session that I facilitated, and it was really well engaged with. We looked at a few scenarios that were common across most of the organisations. Like, most of them could relate.
Yeah, there was a lot of nodding, good head nodding, wasn't there, going on? Yeah.
So, we, you know, rather than try and fill up individuals like they are empty vessels, it's much better to fossick out the wisdom that's already in the room. So there was lots of experience to go by. So we unpacked these scenarios and thought about how we might respond most effectively in those kinds of situations to keep people safe, I guess, in the first instance, but to get good outcomes for the people that we're serving in our community houses as well, rather than just shutting people down to deal with incidents. So that was the first session. We spent a lot of time, I guess, identifying and unpacking the importance of taking care of the individuals who are working in those environments and acknowledging that oftentimes they're volunteers and in many instances they're working on their own. And so it can be quite a lonely place to be working. And so as we unpack those different scenarios, one of the key themes that came through was the importance of, one, helping people have tools, but two, helping people to take good care of themselves, to have really good boundaries around what they can and can't or will and won't do, and how much work or their community contribution, how much space that takes up in their lives and their heads.
Yeah. And then that segued beautifully, I believe, into the second session that we ran, where we had Daz from the Good Day Matrix.
Yes.
Shout out to you there, Daz, who came in and did a session with the managers around wellbeing and looking after their teams.
Absolutely. And I think it was evident. So Daz was in the tail end of the morning session. So when she arrived into the next session, she was able to pick up on a lot of those key themes. They were the same, that it is all about the people. It is all about making sure that we're creating the kind of environment that enables people to be at their best and to do their best. And that involves making sure that they are well, healthy and empowered.
That's right. And also I picked out of that, it was also around about thinking about your own well-being.
Absolutely.
Someone was telling me this morning, well, you know what it's like when you're in a plane and they're going through all the sort of key things you got to think about before it takes off. And they talk about, you know, if the oxygen mask drops down, put your own on first before you put it on any other members of your family or whoever might be with you.
And that can feel hard for people because when you have a giving nature and when you see that your role is to make things better for other people or to take care of other people, it can be very hard to prioritise yourself. But actually, I love the saying that you can't pour from an empty vessel. And I think that oftentimes when people talk about that analogy and they say, you know, can't pour from an empty cup, and you might have an image of a coffee cup, in actual fact, I heard someone say very recently that you shouldn't be pouring from your cup at all. You should be pouring from the overflow that lands in the saucer. And I thought that was really an interesting take on that. So implying that we actually shouldn't be depleting ourselves in order to give to others.
That's really good. I've never really thought of it like that. So instead of taking from what you've got within, you're actually taking that overflow, that surplus.
Yeah. And I think that's it's a new concept in our sector, really, isn't it? And it's one that I think more and more, and in recent years, we've been really encouraged or drawn toward this idea that we need to be taking better care of ourselves and of each other.
Really good points there. Probably then again, that next moves into the mentoring program that one of our colleagues, Sally, leads on our behalf. And we have also, yesterday, wasn't it, just had the first session coming together.
Yeah, so we had the orientation session yesterday for the new mentors and mentees for the 2024 program. And that was exciting. I always love being part of those processes because you meet some incredible people. So yesterday we had about 16 of the participants from the program come in for that. A few weren't able to make it, but it was an opportunity to introduce the concept of the program to participants to set them up to be successful, and also to, again, I'm going to come back to this word boundaries, also to define the boundaries of what that relationship and that program looks like.
And the program itself is sort of comes through via the Mentoring Foundation, the New Zealand Mentoring Foundation. So we've got some good guidelines there that we use.
Absolutely. And this is our fourth year. So we've had a number of people go through the program. But essentially what it is that people apply to be mentees. So they're people who have identified that there is areas of leadership or personal growth that they'd like to have some support with, and they see having a mentor as a way of achieving that. So what happens is that they come into the program, and Sally does a really good job of, in that first instance, getting a feel for what it is that they'd like to, what their circumstances are and what it is that they'd like to achieve. And then she sets about identifying mentors from within, not just our close relationships or people who are close to our organisation, but just out broadly in the community. So if I look at who was in the room yesterday who are in the mentoring role, there's people such as ourselves, but also someone who comes from a law background but is working in the community sector. We had managers from various different types of organisations, people who are working or evolving themselves in ways that are going to help that individual person.
Yeah. No, we've got some really good quality mentors on board this year. And also, too, from the mentee perspective, you know, it looks like there's some really amazing young people, or not even young people, but people out there who are aspiring to learn more about their roles, especially around that leadership component.
I think one of the key things for me that came out yesterday, it was something that Sally and I have been talking quite a lot about lately, is the fact that in a lot of mentoring situations, they're set up with a expert-novice kind of an approach, so that it implies that, you know, someone with lots of experience, skills and wisdom gets matched up with someone who doesn't have as much of that, and that some, you know, that they're going to fill them up with the knowledge that they have. And part of what Sally and I have been talking about, and certainly resonated with the group yesterday, is that understanding that it's a much more reciprocal relationship than that, and actually the mentors achieve as much learning and growth and development as what the mentees do. So we spent a lot of time talking about that yesterday.
Totally agree with that. I know the two times that I've actually been a mentor, the learnings that I've actually taken on as well, it's... Yeah, great concept.
Absolutely.
For everyone all round. All right, well, I think we're going to take a little bit of a break now and listen to a little bit of music, and then we'll come back and just talk about a few more of the key areas that Community Waikato does out there in the space. So we're going to listen to a little bit of...
The Yandell Sisters.
Yeah, with a little bit of Sweet Inspiration.
Without your sweet inspiration.
And welcome back to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. You're listening to Roseanne and Karen from Community Waikato. And we just thought today was a really good opportunity just to talk a little bit about what the work is, what's the mahi of Community Waikato. So we've just been giving a few little snippets beforehand about some of the programs that we deliver and some of the groups that we sort of help with their learning and development opportunities. So just carrying on in that vein, maybe just Karen, just giving us a little bit of an overview of some of the different workshop topics that either we facilitate ourselves or we have maybe some external presenters doing.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, we've got a couple of, should I call them our generic workshops that we offer really frequently throughout the year. And the first would be in partnership with other local funders where we run some fully subsidised funding workshops. And they're a really great opportunity for people to come, you know, to have a really good think about how they pull together their applications for funding, how they present their organisations in the best light, and tips and techniques for getting the best out of those applications, the most success out of those applications. So that's something we offer really frequently.
Yeah, and I would say it's one of the most asked about type of workshops or opportunities to provide some support around how do we go about getting funding, you know, what? How do you fill out an application form, who out there is maybe likely to fund our organisation.
Yeah, and how you tell your story, how you explain what it is that you want to use that funding for and to make sure that they're going to want to.
And very much, I believe, these days around the impact that that funding is going to have out there in the community space. Yep,
for sure. So that's a nice little workshop, particularly for people who are maybe a bit new to the role, a good chance to grow their confidence and give them some ideas about where to go. So that, as you say, that's probably our most asked about workshop. But probably, and the one that comes in next most popular would be our introduction to governance and community organisations. So we do a lot of work around growing governance and we do a lot of work with individual boards, but we've got this nice little 2-hour workshop that we offer both online and in person. And it just really gives people some good foundation, doesn't it, Roseanne, to step into a governance role. So they might be new and wanting to build their confidence and looking for opportunities. Or they may have been around a while and just we've always done it this way, but maybe thinking that there's some better ways of leading.
Yeah, it's always some really good conversations on those workshops. Again, it sort of can also share areas that they're looking for some support around, and quite often any challenges they may have, they all pretty much have the same type of challenges. So it's quite good to hear about that from another organisation.
And it's interesting, isn't it, that we get a lot of service requests for our one-to-one advisory work. They often come from either people going along to the funding workshops and discovering that maybe there's some more assistance that they could benefit from. Or from the governance workshop, we will quite often get follow-up, won't we, where people need a little bit more specialised
Definitely, and support. I find strategic planning or, you know, looking at developing strategy or reviewing their strategy is one sort of area that comes out of the governance
Absolutely.
Workshops.
Absolutely. We do a lot of that, don't we?
We do.
So, as well as coming back to the professional development, we also, there's coming up, provided by external facilitators and trainers, a whole range of workshops that are around leadership. So there's a Managing Performance and Behaviours one coming up in August, a Leadership and Practice Masterclass for people who've come and done some of the earlier leadership programs, the Art of Giving Feedback, always a really good skill and a very popular workshop, Thriving at Work, again coming back to self. We also have coming up in September and November a workshop on diversity and inclusivity that's being facilitated by the Rainbow Hub here in Waikato. So that's about how to engage our takatāpui, rainbow, queer or LGBTQIA plus colleagues, customers and clients. So that's a very specific workshop tailored to a particular group. We also have another quite regular workshop, the Understanding of Te Tiriti or Waitangi, coming up in September. Again, that's something that we offer really frequently and facilitated by Dr. Ingrid Huggins and usually one or more of her colleagues. We have the New Zealand Certificate in Business, First Line Management Level 4, that's offered through WILS. Again, a very strong ally of ours and an organisation that we really admire the work that they do in that very practically focused, with a theoretical or academic underpinning, but very much for practitioners, people who are used to getting in and doing the doing.
Yeah, sort of it's, you know, there's sort of project based as well.
Yes.
There's sort of four key modules, and at the end of each module is having a project so you can actually then take it away and apply it into your workplace.
I think that's great because that's how I learn. I love to do learning that I can then go and try out. For me, that works really well. And talking about trying out, our friends and colleagues over at Interactions have a path and maps planning tools workshop coming up. So that's where people can go and learn how to use these facilitated planning processes that utilise visual recordings. Learn how to do that. So that's quite an intense workshop. It's a 3-day workshop. And again, you can contact Interactions if you're interested in learning a little bit more about that. They do have a workshop coming up in a couple of weeks in June for the community sector.
Yeah, and look, hey, it's a great opportunity. And I've just seen some of the amazing sort of virtual illustrations and recordings that, you know, you can do
using
these skills. And it really helps to... It really enhanced telling your story.
Oh, from the storytelling end, absolutely. It makes your story more relatable and colourful. From a receiving end, there's also a lot of science around the fact that we remember things differently and we relate to things differently when they are presented in visual form than we do when they're presented with written words. So again, another very inclusive way of engaging everybody and making sure they're there. So that's just some of the stuff we've got coming up in the learning and development space.
So if anyone is wanting to know more about those workshops coming up or some of the programs, how do they find that information?
So on our website, so www.communitywaikato.org.nz. If you go to our website, we do have a professional learning tab, and you go inside there and you should be able to look at the calendar, and we've got little visual icons on all of the dates that there is an event happening, and you can have a bit of a cruise around inside the website and just see what's coming up over the next month or so.
And another great place to find some of the information is our weekly bulletin.
Oh, yes, or our weekly bulletin, of course.
And you can sign up for that, I think, at the bottom of the website, if you scroll down the bottom of the front page.
Yes, there is a place to sign up. And so our comms manager, Kim, she does a great job of pulling together information into the weekly bulletin. And also, as well as being able to get information, it's also a really great way if you've got some information that you want to disperse out into the community sector. Our bulletin is a great way to do that, and you can get your events or activities or information that you're wanting to share into our bulletin by emailing Kim directly.
And Kim's email address is?
kim@communitywaikato.org.nz. So that's Kim, K-I-M, very easy to remember.
That's great. All right. Well, actually, we've only got a couple of minutes to go now, Karen.
Goodness me, Roseanne, we can talk well, can't we?
Oh, we sure can indeed. Yes. Yeah, so just going back to the one-on-one service. So maybe just clarifying a little bit more about how people would go about coming to us, approaching us around looking at that.
So I think firstly, I'd want to say there are many things that we can provide assistance around in our one-to-one service. And as you said, you and I spend a lot of time assisting people to develop strategy, in helping people to think about their structure and maybe how they get the best out of their boards, all those practical things. So lots and lots of things, whatever it is that people have got going on. It's such a diverse range of things that we do. But if you want to access one-to-one assistance from the advisory team, you simply go onto the website and there is a tab called Request an Advisor or Kaiwhakariti. So if you are a marae or marae entity, you would request a kaiwhakariti, or you could come in if you were any other kind of organisation, throw your request in through that portal.
Yeah, and so we meet together once a week and we look at the service requests that come in, and then we just sort of look at maybe is it skills based or is it sort of who's got the availability to be able to then make contact with the person from that organisation, look at how we can help them along.
Yeah, and sometimes you get more than one of us. Sometimes we work in pairs, like you and I work together, Roseanne, on things that are maybe a little bit more it's useful to have two perspectives.
Yeah, definitely, especially if maybe it's a larger group or there's more than one key area that they would like to focus on. All right, well, we're nearly running out of time. We've got about 20 seconds to go.
Wow.
I know. So obviously today is the first day of the long weekend, so we hope that the weather holds for us and we hope that everyone has an enjoyable weekend wherever you may be.
And that part of that weekend involves some self-care.
That is so true. All right. Thank you. You've been listening to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0.
Episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.